Well, good morning, East End Baptist Church family. This is the first time that I have spoken to mostly empty pews. In fact, all of them are empty today. But you're out there because the church is not a building, it's people. And those of you who may be listening or watching on Sermon Audio or Facebook, we welcome you to what would be the Sunday morning Lord's Day service at East End Baptist Church in Brooklyn, New York. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless our time together in the Word of God. Dear Father, we praise You today for Your wonderful love and mercy. We thank You that You are sovereign, You are in control. We can trust You, we can rely on You completely. And we just praise You, Lord, that You have given us this opportunity to share the Word of God together. And I pray that whoever may hear this message today, whether in their home, whether they're in some remote place, wherever it may be, we pray that the Word of God will be a blessing. And we pray, Lord, that Your Spirit will take Your Word to speak to our hearts. And I pray that You will remove fear and give comfort, that You will point people to the Lord Jesus and to salvation in His name. We commit this time to You. We thank You for Your goodness and grace. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Last Sunday, I spoke on dealing with fear, and our theme verse was Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. I would like this to be part two of dealing with fear. The spring of 2020 will certainly be remembered in history as the season when the world faced the pandemic of the coronavirus. Many are fearful for their health, and many are fearful for their wealth. Last Sunday, we asked this question, how should those who name the name of Christ deal with fear? I would like to build on that today and consider from the Bible a very oft-repeated command. And that command is, fear not, or stated another way, don't be afraid. And as I've studied this, it really has stood out to me how often this occurs in Scripture. In fact, I'm not finished with the survey of this phrase in the Bible. Don't fear, fear not, fear not. Over and over we find this phrase, and over we find it from the lips of Jesus. So today we're going to limit our study to the Gospels. And we're going to look at five occurrences in the Gospels of don't fear, don't be afraid. Sometimes the phrase is spoken from an angel. In fact, we'll see that today in most of the cases we look at. Lord willing, another time we'll look at more of the cases where Jesus said don't fear, but we will see at least one of those today. As I've thought about this, it seems like we have two big categories here. God has spoken, don't fear, in gigantic, miraculous situations. Amazing. In these huge situations that could cause incredible fear, God has spoken through angelic beings saying, don't fear. And then also in day-to-day common life circumstances, Jesus says, don't fear. So however you view the current crisis, I can assure you that it's nowhere near the magnitude of some of the gigantic situations that we see in Scripture where God's messenger told God's people, don't fear, don't be afraid. The first one I'd like to look at this morning, and I hope you'll open your Bible or go to your phone and your Bible app there, and I hope you'll follow along in our study this morning as we'll be looking at several passages. So be tuned in with your Bible as well. In Luke chapter 1, in verse 5, we have the account of Zacharias. And here's what it says in verse 5. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Pay attention to these words. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, Luke 1:11, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." Here we have the admonition from the angel to not fear on the occasion of the announcement of the birth of John the Baptist. In each of these incidents that I want to look at this morning, I want to notice the challenge, the fear, the command, and then the support. So here is the challenge for Zacharias. An angel of the Lord came to Zacharias. His wife Elizabeth was barren and past the childbearing years. That was the challenge. The appearance of this angel, the fear. It says in verse 12, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. So he was troubled and fearful at this angelic manifestation. But then there was this command. And it says in verse 13, the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias." A clear command to not be afraid at this angelic manifestation. And then follows the support. And what I've noticed in these occurrences of do not fear or fear not, we have that there was fear. And then he tells them not to fear, and then there's a reason afterwards, or several reasons why. And so here we have the support, and this is all in this little word, for. Do not be afraid, Zacharias. For. And look what happens after the for. It says, your prayer is heard. Isn't it an amazing thing to know that God hears the prayers of his children, of his people? So in light of our prayer-hearing God, why should we be afraid? His prayer was heard, and then he goes on to say here, your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. She was advanced in years. She was past the time of childbearing. But Zacharias gets this wonderful news. Your wife is going to have a baby. And not only does the angel tell him about this child, and this in itself may have caused fear to Zacharias. Advanced in years to have a baby? Well, not only does the angel tell him about the reality of the birth of a son, he tells him the name. And he says here, and you shall call his name John. He also tells Zacharias in verse 14, you're going to have joy and gladness. I imagine that Elizabeth all her life wished for a child. She had none. And now the angel is telling Zacharias, you're going to be a father. Elizabeth, your dear wife, is going to be a mother. And you're going to have joy. And many people are going to rejoice at this birth. But I want you to think about what a circumstance that must have been for Zacharias to be serving his priestly duties in the temple and to have this appearance of the angel there by the altar of incense, and then to hear from the angel. No wonder Zacharias was afraid. And no wonder the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid. No need to fear. Cease from your fearing, because God has a special plan." In the midst of trials, circumstances, great issues, great challenges, God shows up. He's there all along. He's there all the time. And he tells his people, "Don't be afraid. Don't fear." Well, there's a second one. This seems to be a phrase that Luke enjoys, but it's here attached to another angelic visitation. And here is the announcement of the virgin birth of Jesus. Look, perhaps in your Bible on the next page, Luke chapter 1, notice verse 26. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God." Think about that. "Dispatched by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus.'" Well, here is the challenge in this announcement of the virgin birth of Jesus. An angel appears to a young Jewish virgin, Mary, and he blesses her. In verse 28, he says, "The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Imagine the innocent young Jewish girl having a visitation from Gabriel, the angel, and saying to her, "You're blessed. You are highly favored." No wonder it says then the fear. Verse 29, she was troubled. She was troubled at this. It, I'm sure, did not make sense to her. It says she considered what manner of greeting this was. What could this possibly be about? "The Lord is with you. Rejoice. You're favored. You're blessed among women. You are blessed." Well, then there's the command. "Do not be afraid, Mary." Zacharias was a godly, a righteous man. Mary was a godly young woman. And God comes to them in their fear, in their trouble, and their perplexity, and he says to them, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." And notice the connection here. Don't be afraid, for, again, there is this connector. There is this word that gives support. So we have the challenge, the Jewish young virgin. She was troubled, the fear, the command. She was not to be afraid. But the support for, and then we have what follows. "You have found favor by God." God has favored you among all the women who have been born and who will ever be born. You are favored. Why? Because verse 31, you will conceive in your womb. You would conceive and you will bear a son. You will bear a son, and that son you will name Jesus. Mary, in her innocence and her piety, she said, "How can this be? I don't know a man. I've never had relations with a man. How can this possibly be?"
And the angel answers and says in verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Mary, a virgin, without the assistance of a human male, would bring forth a son because he will be the Son of God, conceived in her womb by the Holy Spirit. Absolutely amazing. There is no challenging circumstance or situation that we could ever possibly face that would match this. And what does the angel say to Mary? Sent from God, this angel? Don't be afraid, Mary. Don't be afraid. Tremendous. The support, the strength to know that God has a purpose, that he comes to his people in time of great challenge, in time of great miraculous working of God. And he says, don't be afraid. I have found that sometimes when life is so strange, you just can't figure it out, that God may very well be up to something very special. This could be the case with this coronavirus. Wouldn't it be wonderful if people would turn to God during this time? That should be our prayer. One of the things that's suggested is that people get exercise. And so my wife and I went to the park yesterday. It was a beautiful day here in New York. It was warm. And there were a lot of people there. Now, we didn't stop and shake hands and sit down beside people. We did keep our distance, but we got our exercise as well. And you know what I noticed? I noticed families at the park, a mother, a dad, and a little one with their little riding toy, or someone else walking along with their little tyke, or maybe a couple together. I think this could be used to draw families close together. But you know, may we talk to God about the need and pray as Christians that God will use this to turn people's hearts to him. In all the affluence and all the wealth and opulence that we have in America, isn't it amazing that something we can't see can cripple a whole society and even the whole world and get our attention? God may be up to something great through this. Let's pray that he uses it for the salvation of souls, for the encouragement of his people. Well, I want you to notice the third occasion here, also a big occasion when we find the comforting words of not fearing. So we have the announcement to Zacharias of the birth of John the Baptizer, who would be the forerunner of Jesus. We have the announcement to Mary about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we have an announcement also from an angel to shepherds, to lowly people about the birth of Jesus. In Luke chapter 2, notice verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass,
which the Lord has made known to us. Here is the announcement of the birth of Jesus to the shepherds, keeping watch over their flocks outside Jerusalem. Here's the challenge. An angel of the Lord and the glory of the Lord appears to these humble shepherds. It says in verse 9, the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. They were troubled. They were very afraid at all of this. They were afraid at this manifestation of the glory and magnitude of God. And the angel said to them, though, do not be afraid. They were terrified at this angelic manifestation and God's glory shining upon them. They were terrified. And what did the angel say? The command, do not be afraid. And then there is our connecting word, for. And he tells us why. Don't be afraid, shepherds, because of this. I'm bringing you good tidings. I'm announcing gospel news to you. I'm announcing good news to you. And that good news is with great joy. And not only that, but that news is for all people. So, great news, shepherds. Instead of fearing, understand the magnitude of what I'm about to tell you. Some very, very good news. And I want to say that this is the best news that has ever been delivered. And here it is. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Here's the great news. A Savior has come into our time, space, history to deliver us from our sins. Christ Jesus, the Apostle Paul said, came into the world to save sinners, of whom he said, I am chief. That's good news. And you know, that's what gospel means. The gospel is the good news. And the good news is this, that Christ came into this world as a Savior. What does that mean? That he died for us. And he was buried in the tomb. And he rose again the third day. That's the good news. That's the gospel. Fear not. There's good news. And today, what does our world need? The gospel. The good news. It could be that you have come onto this on Facebook or sermon audio, and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. I invite you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to be saved. Acknowledge your sin before God, but believe that God loved us and sent his Son, a Savior. That Savior died on the cross, that he was buried, that he rose again, and that all your sins can be forgiven if you will come to him in faith and believe what he has done. Will you believe the gospel good news? This is wonderful, wonderful news that a Savior has been born. There's a solution to the problems of sin. You know why we have sin problems? Why we have health problems, other issues, why we have natural disasters that destroy things. It all goes back to this thing called the fall. In fact, as we were coming to the church this morning, a brother said to me, I wonder what this virus would have been before the fall, what purpose this would have had. You see, there were things that were created good that then became vile after the fall, after sin. Human beings were created without sin, perfect. Sin entered the world, and then we had death and everything that comes along with death. It's because of man's rebellion against God in the Garden of Eden that the world has been cast headlong into sin and all of its issues. That's the bad news, but the good news is a Savior came. God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, as Savior to forgive our sins. And one day we will live with him in a place where there is no sin.
So here, the announcement to the shepherds of the birth of Jesus was accompanied with, don't fear. Now, let's go back to the Gospel of Matthew. Back in your Bibles, from Luke 1 and 2, past the book of Mark to the book of Matthew, chapter 28, the last chapter of Matthew, and talk about a dramatic, cataclysmic, monumental, gigantic miracle that could produce great fear. Here it is, Matthew 28. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Here is the fourth occurrence that we're considering today of do not be afraid. The announcement of the resurrection of Jesus to women at the tomb. Here's the challenge. An angel of the Lord appears in brilliance, and he removes, it says in verse 2, the stone from the door, and he speaks to the women. His countenance, it says, was like lightning. His clothing is white as snow. So the angel appears in this magnificent glory, and he has rolled back the stone from the door of the tomb. He has rolled it back, and it says he's sitting on it. The guards were terrified. They were shaking in their sandals, became comatose, passed out like dead men. I think the women must have shared the guards' fear. Earthquake, removal of the stone from the tomb, the brilliance of the countenance of the angel, the whiteness of the clothing of the angel. They were undoubtedly afraid. But there's the clear command from the angel, do not be afraid. Cease from your fear. And then we have the support. The four again. Do not be afraid. Four. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. It's as if the angel said, I know who you're looking for. I know what you're about. I know you came here to seek Jesus. Well, I want you to know something, verse 6. He's not here. Now, neither of these points were necessarily for Christmas. That's past. Easter hasn't yet come. But we can celebrate Christmas and Easter every day of the year. And notice the context of this. Jesus is alive. He's not here. Don't be afraid. And then the angel, and I love this, he invites them to come. He says, come, see the place where the Lord lay. There was evidence there of the empty tomb. And there was clear fulfillment of what Jesus had said. And the angel repeats it. He said, he's not here, he's risen as he said. God keeps his word. Jesus fulfills his promises. He said he would rise again, and he did. And the angel said, come. Notice the empty tomb. Notice that he's not here. And then the angel says, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead, and indeed, he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And verse 8 says, so they departed quickly from the tomb, and get these next words, with fear and great joy. They are still overcome with the magnitude and the glory of what they had just seen. Colossal miracle. Jesus emptied from the tomb. Jesus not there. The tomb is empty. No wonder the glory of it all made them fearful. And the angel said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. There is nothing that could come into my life or your life that matches the magnitude of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the angel said, don't be afraid. So we see these cases in the New Testament that I am calling gigantic, miraculous situations where God's command through the angels was, fear not, fear not. The birth of John the Baptist, the announcement of the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the announcement to the shepherds that Jesus would be born, and the announcement of the resurrection to the women at the tomb. But someone may say, but I'm not afraid of the cataclysmic things. I'm just afraid of the day-to-day things. Well, the second category is God has commanded, fear not, in ordinary life circumstances. Notice with me Matthew chapter 10. And here is such a precious passage. We looked at part of this last Sunday, but we come to the other part today. But I'll read the whole thing starting with verse 27. Jesus said, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, a penny, we might say? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Here we have, fear not in the existence of our lives. The challenge before us in verse 28 and the passage before it speaks to persecution of God's people and the possibility of that. But Jesus says, do not fear those who kill the body. And could I expand that to say, don't fear something that could kill the body. Believers may face death. In fact, all of us will die unless Jesus comes back before we die. So believers can be afraid. I take it that the disciples here were afraid. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. Believers can be afraid of people or things that kill the body. But here is Jesus' command in verse 31. Do not fear. And then we have support again. This time it's therefore, verse 31. Do not fear, therefore. And it seems to me as Jesus is appealing to what he had just illustrated from nature in verses 29 and 30 to tell them, don't fear because I've already told you this. And he mentions these truths. Two sparrows at the market apparently were sold for a penny. It's a very small, insignificant coin. The point is they are sold for not much money, not much value. Two sparrows. The sparrows I've seen, you couldn't get too much meat off of them. They wouldn't be worth much for food. But they were sold apparently for a meager ration for food. Jesus said, there's not much value in these, but notice this. and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. What a precious picture. I love the springtime, and I'm hearing birds sing in New York. I love that. And the sparrows are out, and they're happy, and they're flittering about, flying about. Just think of this. The Heavenly Father does not allow one of them to fall to the ground without his will and plan. It speaks to the power of God, the sovereignty of God, the omniscience of God, the providence of God. It speaks to all of that. He says, not one falls to the ground without the Father. And Jesus then continues his illustration. He says, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, for some of us, that job is harder for God than for others of us. Actually, it's not hard for God if you have thick hair or if you have no hair. It's no job for God. What's the point here? He intimately knows and cares about our lives. And our lives don't end without his will and plan and purpose. Isn't that a precious picture? The very hairs of your head are all numbered. And so Jesus says, do not fear. Don't fear, therefore. And he makes this final conclusion. You're of more value than many sparrows. You can go to the market and buy two for a penny. But the Father even cares about them. And you are so much more valuable than a sparrow. Do you not think the Father cares about you? He does. He loves you. He cares for you. Common, ordinary situations in life, the command from God, don't fear. Don't fear. We're going to continue this study, Lord willing, because it's vast in Scripture, and you might want to do your own study. Get a concordance and look for fear, and especially the combination fear not, or don't fear, don't be afraid. It is just an amazing study, and many of these admonitions come from the Gospels, and many come from the very lips of Jesus. We have sampled this one right here. So in the big, gigantic, miraculous situations that have changed time and eternity, so to speak, the message from God is don't fear. In ordinary situations of life and things that cause us fear and intimidation, Jesus says, look at the sparrows. Look at the hairs on your head. Don't fear. So we look at these dramatic situations where God's people were very tempted to fear. And God told them through his son or through angelic beings, don't fear. Fear not. And if they weren't to be afraid of these unique and life-altering situations, should we be afraid when confronted with any sort of alarm? Should we be afraid as God's people? Jesus tells his followers over and over, don't fear. Indeed, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Let me close with these questions. Do you fear God? Have you fled for refuge to the Lord Jesus Christ? Come to the Lord Jesus. Believe on him as your Savior and be saved. And if you've done that, are you willing to trust God with all your fears and anxieties? Are you willing to take those to him? And to find his comforting words, don't be afraid, don't fear. Come to me, my child, rest in me, depend on me. I love the words of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 that I learned as a young boy from my mother. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Will you acknowledge him today? Will you trust in him fully and completely? Fear not. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for the admonitions of Scripture. And Lord, we see ourselves and people in the Bible, and we would have feared just like they did. But Lord, you told them not to fear. And we see this and we're encouraged. And we hear the words of Jesus, don't fear. Don't fear what can be done to the body. God cares about you. Even a sparrow doesn't fall. And I pray that for anyone who may be tormented by fear, if they know Jesus as Savior, I pray that they will trust instead of fret, that they will wait on you instead of trying to figure out everything their own way. Lord, if there's anyone who has not yet trusted the Lord Jesus for salvation, I pray that they would understand the good news that Christ came into the world to save sinners, that they would run to the cross and believe on the Lord Jesus and be saved. We pray you'll bless your word. We pray that you will use us to be a testimony to others, that we might make a phone call or someone that we may meet somewhere, that we'd be able to tell them of our hope in Christ. Use us during these special times, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful and powerful and peace-giving name, we pray. Amen.